23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, and I want to read to you verse 21 through 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. God considers vows made unto him very serious. And he said, if you make a vow, you should pay that vow.
Right.
You should pay it.
Amen.
And then he says, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. I want you just kind of to notice, because we're going to look at some other scriptures, but God considers it very important what comes from our lips, what comes from our mouth, the words we speak. After last week, we just kind of covered this a little bit. Bud Bowenshin came up to me, and he said, Pastor, right after I got saved, and I believe that Bud was saved fairly early in life, Brother Bud?
9 years old.
9 years old. He said he don't really know exactly why, but he made a vow to God. He said, God, I'm never going to smoke or I'm never going to drink. He said, I just made that vow. And he said, I never have. I've kept that vow. And he said, I went into the service in the military. And he said, they made a lot of fun of me and laughed at me and made fun of me. But he said, so what? Now, what I'm saying to you is there are vows that are absolutely good to make. That was a good vow that he made, and he's kept it these years. You make a vow like that, you ought to keep it. Sometimes our young people, sometimes in early teens, sometimes will make a vow that they'll keep themselves pure. I think that's a good vow. That's a right vow. That's a right thing to do. It's okay to make a vow like that, but keep it. Because God expects when we make a vow, keep that vow. I explained a little bit. I don't remember making a lot of vows, except I know when I was called to preach, I never promised God that I'd be a great preacher. I never did. I said to God, I said, to the best of this man's ability, I'll be faithful to the word of God. And I made a vow to do that. And as you open doors, I'll do my best to preach the best I can. I never said, I'm going to be a great preacher. I just didn't do that. But I did promise to be faithful to the word of God. And I've tried to keep that. I think that was a good vow to make. And there's vows that are good, that are proper for us to make. But he said, if you do not vow, there's no sin in that. So we're going to go on over to Psalms, the 66th chapter of Psalms. And I want to read verse 13 and 14. I will go into my house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth have spoken when I was in trouble. Sometimes when we're in trouble, sometimes in difficult times, and I think Jephthah was a little bit like that. He wanted to be sure of victory, so I think he really made a vow that was very foolish. But anyway, he wanted to be assured of victory. There was a man at Anaconda Aluminum Company when I worked there that we would talk from time to time. He was a Christian. He told me one day, he said, I was in the Korean War. And he said, I was in a foxhole. And he said, the enemy was all around us. And he said, bullets were flying everywhere. And I said, oh God, if you'll get me out of this, I'll preach the Bible. You know, sometimes when we're in trouble, we want to promise God things. If you'll do this, I'll do this. And here's what he told me. He said, I got out. I got safe out. God got me out of there. But I didn't preach the Bible. He said, do you know, Brother Ross? He said, that has been on my mind practically every day since I got home from the war. And anyway, he was telling me that he was just getting ready to go to a little church. It was in a little town called Turner, Indiana. I don't know whether you're all familiar with that's over by Brazil. I think it was Turner's, I remember. Just a little old burg. There was a little old church there. And he said, I'm going to start preaching. He was finally going to keep that vow. So a lot of times, you know, we'll make a vow trying to gain God's help, thinking that if we promise God something, surely he'll help us. Well, you want to be careful doing that. Because God said in his word that whatever comes from your lips, you better keep it. Good. Amen? Good. Now, I want to take you another portion of scripture over in Ecclesiastes. That's right after the book of Proverbs. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. And I want to read some verses there. I mainly just kind of want to encourage you about making vows. And by these verses here, we'll assure you and show you there's nothing wrong with making vows. In fact, I think it's proper. I think for Bud Bovenshire, that was proper for him to make a vow like that. Amen. I think it was right for me to make a vow to do my best to stay faithful to the Word of God. And that was right for me to do that. So there's vows that can be made. But listen to what he says in chapter 5, verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. You know, that'd make a good sermon. Come to the house of God ready to hear. Ready to hear our preacher preach the word of God to us. Amen. That's a blessed thing. Be ready to hear. Than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Now let me say to you, I think Jephthah was probably rash when he made that vow. You got to be careful. You better stop and think. One of my things that I learned a lot of years ago is to be careful how you speak. Now, I didn't say I always have accomplished that, because this thing is a hard thing to tame. It is for you and it is for me. James will tell you that, and you're not exempt from that, and neither am I. But here's what he says. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. He said, you want to be careful what you say to God, what you promise. I'm not done reading yet, but listen. There is a principle taught throughout the book of Proverbs that few words are better than a lot of words. That we've got to be very careful. And I mean, that's a principle, honestly, that every individual needs to learn. It's better to just speak a few words than it is to jabber on all the time. Because we get ourselves in trouble when we do that. Amen. Right. Right. Then he says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Did you hear what he said? A fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. Amen? Right. Now, we could just let that set there a little while. God means what he says. You know, and boy, it really is interesting study. I'm not going to take time to do all of that. But it's interesting to read, and I think in the book of Proverbs, I'd have to look up the chapter, but anyway, I think you'll find out that he keeps talking about how that a fool speaks a lot of words, but a righteous man speaks few words. But yet, at the same time, it's not just that a righteous man speaks few words. What he speaks is correct and right and helpful. And that's important. See, what we speak, what we talk, talk about ought to be helpful to those whom we're talking to. It ought to feed them. It ought to help them. Anyway, and then he says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. He said, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. I think that makes it pretty plain when it talks about promises and vows unto God. He's just simply saying this. He's not saying, and let me say that, he's not saying you should not vow. He just says it would be better that you not vow if you're going to vow and not do it. It'd be better that you didn't vow. But let me say to you, he's not saying there that you should not vow. I think there's times and things that we should make promises to God and keep them. Keep those promises. And so anyway, I just kind of wanted to spend just a little time on that. There is much could be taught on it. But just remember this. Be careful when you speak to God what you say. Amen. Be careful what you say in his presence, because he takes you serious. Amen. Okay. Will that help?
Amen.
That help you? Sure. All right. Let's go back now to the book of Judges. Book of Judges, the 12th chapter. Again, I've told you, I just try to find some principles, and boy, there is a lot of them in the book of Judges, principles that maybe we can just kind of give you that will help you in life, just like those talking about those vows. I think that helps you. I think that's a blessing. We want to be careful what we do, what we say, and what we promise God. And so anyway, and then over in the book of Judges, the 12th chapter, I'm just going to read, let's see here. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thy house upon thee with fire. Now here the Ephraimites are. You got to know a little bit about the Ephraimites. Here they come, and they said, after the battle is over, okay, the battle is over, they're complaining, they're griping, why in the world didn't you call us? Why did you wait, and why did you go to war with them? And he did. Jephthah went to war and won the battle. Coming back, and here the Ephraimites are, and they're angry, and they're jealous about the victory that Jephthah had. You see, in chapter 8, let me just go back there real quick, chapter 8, verse 1, listen real quickly, this was Gideon, and the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. I'm not going to read a lot on that, but they done the very same thing to Gideon as they're doing to Jephthah. This is a group of people. And let me say to you, Gideon and Jephthah was out of the tribe of Manasseh. Now this is important because they was out of the tribe of Manasseh. The Ephraimites was actually one also a tribe out of Joseph. God made two tribes out of Joseph, the Ephraimites and the Manassehites. And here the two men here we're talking about was actually brethren unto them, and they didn't have time to fight the enemy, but they had time to fight their own brethren. I'm going to just tell you that's a good principle. You know, in fundamentalism a lot of time, we ain't got time to go out here and fight the real enemy out there, but we got time to fight each other. Amen. Isn't that a good principle? See, when you know, no. The Ephraimites, that's just what they did. You see, they were jealous. They were proud. In fact, I just want to take just a little break there and go to the book of Proverbs and show you what pride and envy and jealousy does. Go over to the book of Proverbs, and we'll go to chapter 6 first. Pastor, I always tell the people, it takes me a while to get there. I had to go to this big print Bible. They don't fall open like the other one used to. And so I have to hunt them a lot of times, just like you do. And but anyway, sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs and the 34th verse. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And he will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. In other words, he's saying jealousy is a rage. And I'm saying to you that Ephraim was jealous of Jephthah. And jealousy is a bad thing. It really is. I was sitting the other day, and I'm just thinking about things, thinking about my life and thinking about where we are and all of those things. And I was thinking about our son, Jerry, pastoring the church here and how thankful I am. I want to say something to you. I look at the church, and I see it growing and doing well. And I want to tell you, there's not a jealous bone in my body. I am so grateful for what God is doing. I am so thankful for what he's doing. And I know that when God used me, he took this church through me where he wanted it to go. And then it was time for me to step aside. It was time for a guy with some energy. And boy, does he have energy that I don't have. But it was time for him to step in and take over and do a great job. And I'm telling you, I'm just thankful and grateful. Jealousy is a rage. I won't tell you all this, but I've even had preachers. How do you sit there and you used to pastor and now you're... I don't have a bit of trouble. It don't bother me a bit. In fact, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful all those things are on his shoulders, not mine. He sometimes calls me and says, Dad, you want the church back? he not me. I said, no way. No way, son. Just go at it. Amen. Jealousy is a rage. All right, let's go over to 13th chapter of Proverbs. 13th chapter of Proverbs, 10th verse. And he says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Pride, and I think there was where Ephraim was, you'll get contention. Okay? Pride causes contention. Don't be a prideful person. You have nothing to be proud about, except my great-grandchildren. Oh. Now, we have nothing to be proud about. It's everything is Jesus. Couldn't do a thing without Jesus. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Why are we going to go around all puffed up and prideful?
Amen.
Silly. It's Jesus.
Amen.
That does anything.
Right.
Amen. Now look at chapter 13. Wait a minute. Excuse me. I was already at 14. And verse number 30. Just real quick here. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. You see, this is what Ephraim was doing. They were envious. And it's the rottenness of the bone. You see, they want to know why they wasn't called. Well, we want to kind of get to that. Because you see, it was their pattern. They were ready to gather the spoils after the battle. They was ready to claim their rights after the battle. You see, no taste for the battle, but brave after the battle was over. Amen? You see, you know what that is? That's a picture of a carnal, lazy, lukewarm Christian. That's exactly what it is. You see, content to enjoy the blessings of God, but let others do the work. You hear what I'm saying? See, this was what Ephraim was. Critical of those doing the work. D.L. Moody, one time, I read this in a book about him. He said that he was a man came to him and said, Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you preach the gospel. Mr. Moody said, you know, I was always ready to learn. I always wanted to learn. And he said, so I said to him, well, tell me how you do it so that I'll know. He said, well, I don't. And he said, well, I think I'll just do it the way I've been doing it. If I'm digging a hole, don't come and tell me how to dig a hole. Show me. If I'm working in my garden, don't tell me how to do my garden. Do it. Unless I ask. I may ask for advice, but if I don't start telling me how to do things. Show me. Amen? See, that's where Ephraim was, you see. But anyway, I want to go back now to Judges, the 12th chapter, and read verses 2 and verses 3. He says, "And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hand. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me?" And boy, there is a principle taught. When I read this and I thought, Lord, I wonder how many. You know what he said? When I called you, you didn't come. And I thought to myself, I just wonder. I don't know, see, because I don't know the hearts of people. But I wonder how many people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church whom God called and they wouldn't come. I wonder about that. I wonder how many young people has grown up in this church and God called, and they wouldn't come. Well, it makes me wonder. I've met some. I met a man, Anaconda Aluminum Company, when I quit Anaconda Aluminum Company to go into the ministry. You may not understand this, but I was called a fool to my face. I had a good job over there. Good job. Good seniority. And I quit. I had a man come up to me and just call me a fool for quitting that good job and going into the ministry. And yet I had another man. I know his name. Throckmorton was his name. Came up to me and here's what he said. "Brother Ross?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Years and years ago, God called me to preach. And I didn't do it. Been miserable ever since." That's what he told me. Now you say, "Brother Ross, was he a poor man?" No, he had a lot of money. He worked hard, saved his money, done well, but he was miserable inside. You see, and I wonder, and I really do, I wonder how many young people has come through this church, grew up here, said no when God called. That's what Jephthah said to Ephraim. "I called and you wouldn't come." Just makes me wonder. Do you ever think about that? Huh? Did God call? See, I don't know if you're here that God called. I don't know about that, but I want to tell you something. That's serious business. To say no to God. It doesn't have to be just full-time service. He may have called you to do something else, to be something faithful and trustworthy and honest and live a life that is right and proper, and you haven't followed through on that. Why not? You see, God called you to do that. Amen. Now, listen. You don't have to go the rest of your life like that. God is willing to use you from where you are. Amen? He's willing. Oh, yes, he is. No, he may not be able to use you as much as he would have, but he's willing to use you. Amen? See, people are miserable. When God calls and they won't answer, people are miserable. We have to be. Have to be. Okay?
Yep.
Not trying to be one that calls you. Not trying to do that. I wouldn't do that. It's not for me to do. But if God calls, you better answer.
Amen.
Amen. And so the whole thing here was, and that, you know, He said, I did call you. But no, when the battle was on, you wouldn't come. Now you're here. And in fact, he went to war with them. What is our responsibility to do? You know, God says to preach the gospel to every creature. Do you know that is every Christian's responsibility? Don't have to be behind a pulpit. It can be taking the word of God, the truths of God's word, no matter where you go, take it with you and preach that wonderful word of God. He's commanded in his word that we love one another. Did you know that? That's a command of God. We're to preach and teach the word of God, and we're to love one another. Okay? We're to love one another. Yes, we are. We're to love one another. That's a command of God. Amen? You don't have to like everything everybody does, but you can love them. If they're God's people, you can love them. Amen? Then also, he tells us, if you love me, if you do love me, he says, keep my commandments. Now, that's what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, that's the responsibility of God's people. See, keep his commandments. Do what he says. Then he tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Should not we study the Bible? Should not we read the Bible, study the Bible? Amen. Should not we do that? Because God said to do it. So those are simple things that God commands us to do. Then he tells us to occupy till the Lord comes. Just be faithful till the Lord comes. He's coming, folks. Just be faithful day by day. Just be faithful. Amen. I've always believed in the principle. That's what I've practiced the best of my ability. I want to go to bed in the will of God. And if I do, I'll get up in it. And then when I get up in it, I want to stay in the will of God all day and go to bed again that night in the will of God. Just do that day by day. You don't have to have long-range plans. Just do it every day. Stay in the will of God. Do the will of God every day. And then God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Just go to church. We was over at Victory on Thursday night, you know, and I was telling them over there, Don and I got saved and in 1966, and just started taking the children to church. And I said, I just don't remember a time we ever did get out of church. I'm not talking about just when I'm a preacher. We just didn't get out of church. We just went to church. We just went to church. You just do that. That's what you do. Day in, day out, you just go to church. You don't get out of church. You just be faithful, see. And when I couldn't, if I was working a shift, I couldn't, she just loaded the kids up, all four of them, and took them to church. We've done that all of our lives. And that's what I want for you. Just keep in church. Keep in a good old independent fundamental church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Just stay right here. Stay in the house of God. Do right. Amen. And God will bless you for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for loving us. And Father, thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray.